peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. In Matthew, you get the feeling that it was afternoon when Jesus appeared to the disciples and sent them to baptize and teach all nations. Mark falls silent after Easter morning when the women fled from the tomb, seized by terror and amazement. Luke tells of a stranger in the afternoon coming near to two disciples as they walk to Emmaus, though by the end of the walk, it is almost evening and the day is nearly spent. But in John, it is evening on that day, the first day of the week, when Jesus appears. It is dark, and you know that's a significant detail in John. The disciples are huddled fearfully together in the upper room, with the door closed and bolted. A metaphor for the church in John's time and ours. Perhaps those on the inside are afraid that the gospel is too good to be true. Or afraid that those on the outside will be hostile to the news of death's defeat, death being the sum and substance of the world's power. Or afraid that the shadow Christ's death casts over the rest of their own numbered days is not a good sign. Whatever the reason, fear has a way of shutting you down, of closing you off, of keeping you isolated. Fear, in fact, is one of death's relentless strategies. Not death's final move that signals the literal end of life, but the little endings, the daily deaths that keep you awake at night and anxious about the future you cannot control. That was certainly true for the disciples that night. With the door closed and bolted, the disciples lived curved in on themselves for fear of what might happen next. Jesus comes and stands among them. That is to say, no matter our defenses against him, our living Lord enters in, surprising us as only a living person can surprise us. His presence surely abolishes the disciples' immediate fears and replaces them with the one fear that is worth their lives, the fear of the living God come near. Here, the question is awe and not anxiety. That of all things the risen Lord could say first, he says, "Peace be with you." That part of the service I know half of you hate. Peace be with you. It was what he had said to those same disciples just a week before when they were anxious that he was leaving them. But a week ago he had added, "Not as the world gives peace, do I give peace to you." The peace the world gives, we know, is a peace that addresses our fear of death with the state's death-dealing power against our enemies. It is a peace that counters our mortality has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. When Christ calls a person, Bonhoeffer presciently wrote, he calls that one to come and die. On Monday, Thursday, the prospect of death so terrified the disciples that they all forsook him and fled. But by Sunday night, according to Czech theologian Jan Lachman, far from being terrified, the disciples interpreted their experience as an invitation to freedom. Freedom of a kind otherwise unknown in a period so fraught with oppressive power and belief in fate. Hard on the heels of this invitation came the practical response, Lachman continues, the incomparable missionary venture of the infant church. From the perspective of Christ's resurrection, death no longer had any power over them. But here's the thing that struck me in this story as it never had before. He sends out these utterly vulnerable men and women, more vulnerable, more open-hearted, more defenseless against the world's hatred, because they now believe death no longer calls the shots in their life. And he sends them out to do what? I have a sermon that I finished on Thursday because I had session retreat. And you're welcome to read that sermon. A sermon that majored in being sent out to the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the oppressed. You know me well enough to know that mission is my heart. Our capital campaign now includes a tie for mission, and as long as you have to put up with me, I will hold our privileged feet to the fire of mission. I deny the resurrection of Christ, young minister writes. Every day I do not serve at the feet of the oppressed. Every day that I turn my back on the poor, I deny the resurrection of Christ when I close my ears to the cries of the downtrodden and lend my support to an unjust and corrupt system. Just a little snippet from the sermon I'm not preaching to you. But in John's gospel, even though Jesus will appear again to Peter and tell him to feed his lambs, tend his sheep, feed his sheep on the night, on this night, what does he tell them? What does he send them out to do? Forgive sins. To forgive sins. Jesus sends them out to bring an end to the broken relationships, an end to the walls of hostility, an end to the distance we keep from one another and from God. You do not have to go far to do this. Our session retreat yesterday, which was what inspired me to throw away one sermon and write this one, was about welcoming a stranger and about hospitality. We introduced ourselves by sharing an experience of being a stranger in this place and reflecting on what or who ended our estrangement. Names like Gene Elliott and Bob Fluss and Anne Carr and Joan Deming were mentioned, as well as experiences like Habitat, and breaking bread together in a home, or simply being asked to do something. Then we took turns reading out loud what various church fathers and mothers had said about hospitality, about being sent to the estranged other. Lactantius, an early Christian author, especially the sort of hospitality extended in the hope that those who are fighting great battles alone might find a disarming peace and an inclusive community in this place. The paradox of hospitality now in councils is that it wants to create emptiness. Not a fearful emptiness, but a friendly emptiness where strangers can enter in and discover themselves as created free. But now it goes on to say what is very hard for institutional religion and for elders talking on a Saturday morning about church growth to hear. Hospitality, he says, is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. The space the church has created, and with your pledges will continue to create, is a space where musicians and artists, the young and the mature in years, the seeking and the uncertain, the lost and the left behind, have been invited to enter and discover themselves as created free. In the hundreds of people who call this church home, but who might not call Christ Lord, Christ says to us, "I came as a guest, and you received me." On Easter evening, Jesus sent a handful of men and women into a hostile world, armed only with news that the great battle with death, fought by every stranger they would meet, had come to an end in the love that death could not conquer. The Holy Spirit that accompanied them would do the rest, would gather the forgiven over the centuries on the first day of the week to give thanks, to hear the news once more, to ask after its meaning, to offer their gifts, to sing praises, and to be sent out again and again and again to forgive, saying to themselves as they see a stranger coming up the road, "Oh, Jesus Christ, is that you again? Thanks be to God."